Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone that's here. My sermon this morning is Living the Christian Life, and I will be preaching from Colossians chapter 3 and starting in verse 9 if you want to go ahead and get ready as far as that's concerned. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, while you're looking at that, I want to start off with a question. How many of you guys have moved in your life from one place to another a lot? Anybody? Okay, maybe that's a middling characteristic. I don't know, because that's pretty substantial as far as all the people that are in here today, that's for sure. When I first moved here, this was the first actual move away from my home that I'd ever made. I had always been in Northwest Arkansas in that one place. And so it was quite a change. It was quite a change when I came out here. I've got to be really honest with you. There was a lot of adjustments and that sort of thing. I still don't know how to get around Midland. I still get lost. As a matter of fact, what I will say is if you want me to know some place to meet you, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is tell me a restaurant or something like that, and it's by a particular restaurant. Then I'll be able to find where you are. But, you know, there's a lot of things that happen whenever we make an adjustment, like moving to a different place. Like, for example, some of the things that we see is, one thing for sure is my wife and I both enjoy hotter salsa than we enjoyed before we got to West Texas. We definitely like hotter salsa, right? Yeah, and Brother Russell, I've got a love for a T.O. Bob over at Carambas. I do. It's still one of my favorites. And speaking of that, there's a lot of new restaurants. When we moved out here, we found a lot of those new restaurants. There's been a lot of new activities that we've had to do. Obviously, new friends, right? When we move and move to another place, you make a whole new set of friends, that's for sure. And definitely for me, different landscapes. As a matter of fact, I was looking at a post from my sister the other day, and I guess she was driving through Kansas. Her and her husband were driving through Kansas. And she goes, "There is nothing out here. It's so flat." And she took a picture of it, and I was like, that could be some of the places around here. And when I first moved here, that struck me as just, it was just really hard to get used to. Really, it was really very hard to get used to. And now I love it. Like, for example, when we come back from Lubbock, and I've said this before, but when we come back from Lubbock and the sun is going down, and you know, from La Mesa through there, and you watch the sunset there, it's really quite incredible out here, and I've really gotten an appreciation for that. And I certainly have an appreciation for the temperatures. I certainly have an appreciation for that. The temperatures here are much better than, especially in the wintertime, than where I came from. And obviously different regional getaways also. Like before I moved out here, I never knew about Fredericksburg, I never knew about Garner State Park, and Lakey, and that really good hamburger they have in that town there. It's a motorcycle place, but they have a really good hamburger. And anyway, it's really pretty around there, and I've really got an appreciation for the mountains heading out towards El Paso and heading that way, and the stars that you can see out there. We found a lot of different regional getaways to actually start enjoying. And so with that being said, and I really am going somewhere with that, I want you to kind of gather the idea of the change of scenery and everything. It has everything to do with my sermon today. And what I will say is, like, when I go back to Arkansas, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same, and it isn't the same, and it really will never be the same, to be honest with you. It never will be the same. And so when we go back there, it's really changed as far as that's concerned. And you know what? Another thing is this is where I belong. This is where I belong. This is where God's put me. And I'm not just saying that to where everybody's like going, "Oh, I wonder if which place he likes to live better," or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I'm where God wants me to be. And that's an important thing for each and every one of us, to a place for us to be as, to be where God wants us to be and where we belong. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says this: "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices, and have put on the new self." And listen to this part here, which is being renewed in knowledge. So Paul's saying that this new self, instead of the old self, and the new self being the person that we become when we become a Christian, the old self is the person that we were before we are Christian. And Paul is saying here that now that we are the new self, we're being renewed in knowledge. The thing that's changing us, the thing that's changing our surroundings, the thing that's giving us a different viewpoint altogether is our renewal of knowledge, and our knowledge in what? After the image of its creator. We're starting to think as new Christians, we're to have the mindset that we're to be thinking the way that God wants us to think, not the way that we used to think, not looking at things the way that we used to look at it, not be in the surroundings where we used to be. Here, where this new place is, for the new person, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. And so when we look at this, I want to just talk about a few of these things here in setting this sermon up today. I want us to look at a few of these things that Paul's talking about here. The first thing that I want you to see is Paul says that we have to put off the old self. We have to put off the old self. The old self actually tells us that we are not who we used to be. When we become a Christian, things change. Can I get an amen on that? That's for certain on that. And put on the new self. We have to get oriented to new surroundings. Just like whenever I moved here and I had to get used to new surroundings, we have to get used to new surroundings as a Christian. There's a whole new, we live in a whole new kingdom as far as our mentality is concerned. And we actually learn how to do this. We learn our new surroundings by actually putting on the new self and actually renewing the way that God wants us to renew. And here's another thing. Where we used to be, where we used to live as a Christian, in a spiritual sense, where we used to be before we are Christian, that's in the rearview mirror. That's what Paul's saying. It's in the rearview mirror. And so when he's saying here, the old needs to fade away. Just like whenever I go back and visit Arkansas to see my mom and some of those things, it's not the same. It's never going to be the same. It's changed. It's a place that I go and visit sometimes, and that's the way that we are as Christians also. So many times we'll go back and we'll visit who we were before we were a Christian. And Paul's saying, as far as our spiritual life is concerned, that we're to just keep moving forward, keep moving ahead, not going back. And so that's the first thing that you notice there. And here's the thing that we need to gather. We actually have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And because we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Spirit of God actually tells us some of those old things that we were taken away from, reminds us that's who we used to be. You don't need to go back there, right? We have the Spirit of God to guide us towards this continual drive to our new surroundings. And I say the new surroundings because of the fact that when you look at these verses here, you see in verse 11, you see that Paul is saying that you're a different person. You're a spiritual race now where you weren't before. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But here's another thing. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us to represent Christ. So with the new creature, the new person that we are, we have the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit puts a drive in us to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. What we're going to see today is this new person that we are. When we talk about living the Christian life, when we talk about living that life, we're to be representing Jesus Christ to a lost world. That's who we are now. That's who the new person is. And so it's important for us to take a look at that. Now, let's go back and look again at verse 11. And what I want you to notice there is whenever he says that here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. When we go back and look at that, that's telling us a really important thing. There's no longer any fleshly divisions. There's no longer any fleshly divisions. One of the things that human beings do is develop a prejudice. You're not from here. You're not from there. Those kind of things. What Paul is telling us is we become one spiritual family in Jesus Christ. One spiritual race. All of those divisions are gone away. And what I want to remind everybody about today is this, is here we are, we're a church, we're a local church, and Paul is talking to a local church there. So the way that we can take this, all of us that are here today, is we can take it like we are all one race, we all belong to each other, and we belong to Christ. That's how it works. There are no divisions. as far as that's concerned. That's what he's saying. He's saying the most important thing is we've been born again, that we've been made alive. And that's how we interact with each other, and that's how we interact with the rest of the world. We represent Christ in that way. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't believe me, after we take our last breath here, we go right on into to being with Jesus, and we live with him forever. And that's the plan. So that leads me to my main point that I'm going to be driving at today. I'm basically going to have one point, and we're going to talk about this one point and break it down. And it's in the form of a question. What has changed? What has changed when we became a Christian? What changes when we become a Christian? And let's talk about this in line with all of that Paul is saying here. The first thing that I want you to see here is, well, let's just look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, Paul says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And so the first thing that we see here, the first thing that we see is what has changed is we become a chosen person by God. God chooses us. And let's talk about this. When we surrender to the call of Christ, he chooses us. Did everybody hear that? He chooses us. That's who the chosen are. When we talk about who are these chosen people that Paul is talking about, that the Word of God is telling about, it's the people that answer the call of Jesus when Jesus is his Spirit, when God's Spirit speaks to people. Some people we know that, like during an altar call or if we're like witnessing to someone or something like that, we know that some people will hear it and they'll be like, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. They feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit in their heart, but they fight it. But then there's some people that hear the call of God knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins, and they know that they are a sinner and they repent of their sins and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Those are the people that are chosen by God because they answer the call. So that's the first thing that I want you to see. Now I'll just say this. Jesus Christ died for each and every person. He died for each and every person out there. And so the person that answers that call, that's the one that he chooses as far as that's concerned. And what does he choose us for? He chooses us to carry out his great commission. You know, to make disciples, to go out into the world and make disciples. And that's what Jesus has chosen us to do. Here's a verse that I want you to put in your notes today. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. And this is God speaking to us through the inspiration, speaking to Paul also. It says in verse 4, "Even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world." From before the foundation of the world, it was God's plan for mankind to actually be serving him. That was always in his mind. That's why he created everything. That's why he created us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Whenever the Garden of Eden happened, it wasn't like, "Oh my goodness, what happened? I'm so surprised." It was God's plan all along to actually bring things about from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. It's always been God's plan for us to be holy and blameless before him in love. It's always been his plan. That's what Paul is saying here. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, "He predestined us for adoption to himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of his will." It was God's plan all along to make us his children, to have a relationship with him. I know there's a lot of people that interpret that in a lot of ways, but I want you to see right here what he's basically saying. It was his plan for us to be his children. Some people don't answer the call. Some people reject it. And when they reject it, those are the people that they hear, "Whosoever will," and they're like, "But not me." But the plan for God was whosoever will. That means everybody has an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's been his plan from the beginning. And so we see this here. And I just want to say this. There's some people that they will not answer this call. And the thing that they will hear, the call that they will hear from God is the one where Jesus says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." That's one of the saddest things there is. And so that's why we represent Jesus, is because we share Jesus with this world to where there'll be less and less and less people that actually hear that whenever they stand before Jesus someday. So, we surrendered, and Jesus is our Lord. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is telling us, that we surrendered and he's our Lord. We are chosen by him. You know, one of the things that I remember about being a kid on the playground is you never wanted to be that kid that was like the last one picked. Like, you'd be like, you don't want me on your team, huh? Or something like that. You always wanted to be like the first ones. Actually, you wanted to be the one that was picking, to be really honest with you. But I kind of like to win, but that's me. But what I am saying is it's an honor that God chooses us. And he chooses us by the manifestation of his Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross. And he's saying, whosoever will may come. And that's what he's saying to all of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Word of God says, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are his. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That is such an important thing there. It goes in line with everything else that we're saying. Do you see it there? Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. In other words, they get to leave iniquity in the dust. The new man, the new person that we're to become departs from iniquity and arrives in God's glory. Amen? So the first thing that we see here, that we see in Colossians chapter 3, what's changed since we became a Christian, is we're chosen by God. We are chosen by him. We are his children. The second thing that he's going to show us is we're to be set apart. So we're chosen. The second thing that we see is we're to be set apart. I know this is such an easy illustration, but I got to use it because it is easy. And I think a lot of times the Word of God uses it to kind of convey something to us. But in a marriage is supposed to last, right? Now, I know we live in a time where a lot of people maybe have gotten remarried, that kind of thing. That's got nothing to do with it. What I am trying to say is that the Word of God tells us that God makes a man and a woman for each other, right? It brings us together. And it's supposed to last a lifetime. That's the idea. Can I get an amen on that one anyway? I mean, that's the idea. Man, I can't even believe I have to even kind of go there on that one. I should just be able to say it without feeling like I should apologize or anything like that. But you know, that's the thing. When we look at a marriage, we see that's how it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to run off to another. We're not supposed to run off to another. In our relationship with God, we belong to him. And we're not supposed to run off to another. And so one of the things that I read here, and I had to include this quote, and I don't know who made this quote, but this was actually in something that I saw and something I read, and there was nobody attributed this quote, so I'm just going to use it, and if there was somebody that said it, I don't know who it was, so I'll say it, and you can say, I said it. How about that? But they said, the new self no longer breaks God's law. They just break God's heart. And just think about that for a moment. We're not worried anymore, and this is what Paul is saying, we're not worried anymore about, are we keeping the law? And that's what he's telling the people at Colossians. It's not us breaking the law, it's us being in a relationship with God, right? We're in a relationship with God, and so now we don't want to break God's heart. We want to stay true to him. That's what's going on inside the heart of a Christian. We're to be set apart. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the Word of God says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We know that our body now, once we became that new person, our body is the temple for the Holy Spirit, the Word of God tells us, right? So the Holy Spirit lives there. It's the temple for them. And so this is what the Word of God tells us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are not our own. God has chosen us, and we're to be set apart as a result. Why? Verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our job as a Christian is to be set apart and to bring glory to God. So we see that what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, one thing it means is that God chooses us. Another thing that it means is that we're to be set apart. The third thing that we are to be, that Paul shows us, is we are to forgive trespasses, just the way that God forgives our trespasses. Let's talk about this one. Because last week we looked at, Paul talked about, as we were leading up to this week, we were talking about that fleshly list, that that list of things that show what a sinner is. This week he shows what the new person is. The new person is, and we're going to be taking a look at that. Look at verses 12 through 14. In verses 12 through 14 in Colossians chapter 3, he says, "Then put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony." So this is what Paul is saying the new person puts on. We talked about those things that we had put off last week. This week we talk about those things that we put on. And it's not just something that we can manufacture. What I want to tell you are these things here are things that are manifested by living in God's Spirit, walking in God's Spirit. But like I said, we have God's Spirit living in us, so we can actually do these things. So, with that being said, looking at some of the points here in these verses that we just read, if we're offended by another in church, what are we supposed to do? Get mad, right? No, we're not supposed to get mad. And I know, the flesh wants to get mad. It's a natural inclination of the flesh to get mad or just to get offended, maybe just to go away. But what we see here in this list here, part of us walking in God's Spirit, and I got to remind everybody, this is talking to a church just like ours. I don't know how many people they had at their church. I have no idea. But I do know that he basically was talking about something where we're kind to each other and we're humble with each other and we're meek and patient and we forgive. We forgive. You know what? What the Word of God is telling us here is we're to forgive the way that our Savior forgave us. Now think about that one for a moment, because that's a big deal. Forgiveness is in our DNA spiritually. Forgiveness is in our DNA spiritually. Why do I say such a thing? We've been changed. We've become a new person because of Jesus Christ. We've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We've been made a spiritual race. It's in our new person's DNA to forgive. Why do I say that? I say that because Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins. And so we're to be forgiving people also. And where it didn't used to be natural to forgive, it should become more and more natural the more that we exercise it. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get offended. Some people are going to make us mad. And I just got to say, the Christian response is not for us just to get mad and just say, well, I'm not ever talking to that person again, or I'm not going to be a part of that church anymore because somebody upset me. I know that happens. I know it does. But I just want to tell you, church, that that's not the way that it's supposed to be. And what I want to say is there's nothing wrong with you going, hey, I offended you and I'm terribly sorry, and offer forgiveness. And then our response, and I don't say that we're supposed to be a doormat and say, I can offend you and walk on you and trample you, and then go, I'm sorry, okay, and then they do it again and again and again. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we need to have a heart of forgiveness to each other. Because why? Because nobody in this room and nobody in this world and nobody that's ever lived or is going to live is perfect. That's for sure. And so Paul says that if we're offended by another, we need to forgive it like we've been forgiven. And so we are filled with God's Spirit. We can do this now. It almost feels like a coach right now, like coming out, and I wish Arkansas's coach would be a little bit more inspiring, actually. But anyway, that's another story. But I feel like saying, we can do this. We can do this. We can live this way. And we can live this way because God made it possible for us to live this way. Whereas the old person could not do it. The old person says, forget it. Done with you. Whatever. And that's no way for a church to be. One of the things that shows that we're really God's people and we're new persons is that we're willing to forgive each other of offenses. Not really fun to think about, is it? Because isn't it fun to, in our flesh, to go, I'm sorry, I'm not forgiving you. I'm sorry, I'm just going to move on away from you. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But listen, what I want to say is we can really put on these qualities. We really can. This is not just me going, come on, everybody, we can do it, I promise. That's not just it. What I'm telling you is we are a new person that can do this because of God's power. The question is, will we walk in God's power? That's the question, isn't it? So, we've been chosen, and then we've been set apart, and then we forgive trespasses like we've been forgiven our own. And then the fourth thing that I want you to see here is that we can truly put on love. We can truly put on love. One of the manifestations of a mature Christian, and I've said this before and I'll keep saying this, is not how much Word of God you know. Now it's really important to know the Word of God. It really is. So please don't get me wrong. But the true manifestation of a mature Christian is love. You notice in those steps of growth that we see that Peter shares with us, it starts off with add to virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, all of those things. And then as you add to, the last thing on that list, and it's not an accident, is love. Because when we look at love here and stuff, and this is not me just talking about, some kind of warm, lovey-dovey feeling. It's talking about a love that serves. A love that serves. If I say that I love Jesus, I serve Jesus. If I say I love this church, I serve this church. And I do love this church. And I do love my church family here. And I want to serve you. I do. And that's one of the qualities that we have as far as growing in Christ. And the ultimate manifestation of a mature Christian is that they are willing to serve each other. I just want to tell you, if we're serving instead of worrying about being served, you'll find yourself a lot more at peace at the way that things are going all around you. That's for sure. Love in the sense of service, listen to this, brings forth, Paul says, peace. Wouldn't a little bit more peace in your life be nice? I mean, come on, honestly, what do you think? Yeah, it would. A little bit more peace would be great. And what I want to say is, when we love, when we serve, and that's what we do, that brings forth, Paul says, peace in a church. Man, I just want to tell you that one of the finest things that I think has happened in this church is there is some peace in here. There is. Because there is a love for each other and a willingness to serve each other. And there's less and less of, I need to be served, but more of, I want to serve you. I'm not going to think about myself. And those kind of things. And so, when we're outside of God's peace, when we're outside of serving God, when we're outside of love, that's when we go astray. When does a Christian go astray? When does a Christian go astray? When they aren't willing to love, and therefore they lose their peace. They lose their peace. Now, I've got to say this, and I'm going to pick on some of the modern terminologies and stuff that we hear these days, but I'm not talking about a peace through ignoring. And what I mean by that is this. Here I go. Tell me you haven't heard this a lot lately, more probably now than you ever have heard like in your earlier life. I'm sorry, but you're too toxic for me, and so I'm going to get you out of my life. Just take those toxic people and just put them out of your life and then you'll have peace. Is that what the Word of God is saying? That's not what it's saying. And yet that's one of those things, that's one of those New Age doctrines that we're putting into our vernacular and putting into our way of thinking, and it's got nothing to do with serving God whatsoever. Here's what I mean by that and what I want to show you here. And I understand. Don't get me wrong. There are some situations where people are put in danger, and that's very toxic if that's what you want to call it. And you should stay away from danger. You should get away from danger. Those kind of things. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm just talking about somebody like, so-and-so is, they offend me all the time. They're toxic. How about this? How about that I am serving them and we're serving God together and we have God's Spirit and we have... And one of the challenges that we have is not to run away from each other, but learn how to love each other. I understand the bad things. I do. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think everybody gets it, right? But today, it's just like, I'm sorry, you looked at me wrong. You're toxic, and you're gone. Right? And that's not biblical. What Paul is telling this church here is you're going to get offended. And so you need to forgive. And you can forgive. And so can they. If we are a Spirit-filled church, we all have that responsibility, right? And so we see here that we can actually avoid these kind of situations just by following God's leadership. Just by following God's leadership. I found myself in a situation lately where I was around a lot of people that I could have said, I'm sorry, but I'm around a lot of people right now that are totally toxic to my well-being. So I'm not going to walk in this room. But instead, my mindset was, God, I belong to you. Your Spirit lives in me. I'm a Spirit-filled man. Please empower me. And be able to look at this situation and look at it with forgiveness. And if I have offended, let me operate in terms of being the person that's forgiving and allowing forgiveness both, right? And I've been in that situation. And I'm telling you, and what Paul is telling us as a church, that's the only way for us to survive. And so we see these things. We see that we're chosen, that we're set apart, and then we see that we're to forgive trespasses, and we can truly put on love. So, at this point in this sermon today, I'm going to hit you with three questions. I'm going to give you three questions, and we'll talk about the answer on these three questions. And then we'll close it down. The first one is, how can we know God's peace? How can we know God's peace then? How can we know His peace? Well, when we obey His will and follow His leadership. When we obey God's will, when we see what God tells us, and that's the way that we live. We follow God's leadership. We look at the children of Israel and that pillar of fire and cloud, it would be sitting there. And when it was sitting there, they weren't supposed to go anywhere. And then when it moved, they were supposed to move with it. In other words, God was leading them everywhere they were supposed to be going. They were supposed to be doing what God told them to do and follow His leadership. And nothing has changed with us today. Not one thing. We're to follow His leadership. When we stray outside of God's leadership, that's when we will lose our peace. And so what that means is, yeah, it is beneficial for us to study the Word of God. It is beneficial. It is beneficial to hear sermons like this. It is beneficial to come to church. It is beneficial to be a part of a local New Testament church. It is beneficial. It's good for us. And so, how can we know God's peace? We've got to set ourselves in situations where we learn what God's will is. At home, at church, in Sunday school, wherever. And then the second question that I have is, how do I know that I'm outside of God's will? That's an easy one. You want to know if you're outside of God's will or not? If there's no peace in your life right now, you are not in God's will. But if there is a peace, and I mean a spiritual peace, then you will find yourself in God's will. And I know some people that, frankly, like my Aunt Nancy who recently passed away, I was talking to her on the phone, and I was feeling sad and everything because I was going to be missing her, and she was speaking to me with positivity, like, hey, I'm getting ready to be with Jesus. That's what's getting ready to be happening here, Robert. That's what's getting ready to be happening. And she had total peace in a time where most people go, why is God letting this happen to me? Well, it happens to all of us. We get old and we die. Ooh, that was positive, wasn't it? Actually, it is. When we look at the things through the eyes of faith the way that my Aunt Nancy did, right? And so how do I know if I'm outside of God's will? There's no peace. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule. Rule. That means it is on the throne. Peace is on the throne. And that's Jesus Christ's leadership. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We were called to be in this peace. We were called to actually serve together in a church, together in peace, and actually walking in God's Spirit. And so you were called in one body. And it says, and be thankful. There's something that maybe we don't do enough of. A lot of times we go through life and go, how's it going today? Well, this is bad. And maybe that's just me, because I'm not the most positive person on the face of the earth all of the time. But when we're walking in God's peace, then something happens, and it's called thankfulness. As I was thinking about things this morning, as I was getting ready to preach this sermon this morning, I caught myself thinking, I am so thankful for our Sunday school teachers, who all of them I know prepared all week long for what was happening in your classroom this morning. And I was so thankful for each and every one of them. And I'm actually, as church happened today, I found myself thankful that they went ahead and they persevered, even though I think right now it looks like a lot of people are missing. And I got to tell you, that's hard. That's hard. How do I know that's hard? It's hard to preach when everybody's missing. But I found myself thankful that they pushed on anyway. And I found myself thankful that I get to preach God's Word today. And I found that I'm thankful for my wife and my family and my home and the opportunity to serve Jesus. And those are the things that when we're walking in God's peace, we find ourselves doing, and that's being thankful. And then he goes on in verse 16 and says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not dabble around and stick your toes in the water with the word of God. Dwell in the word of God richly. All in. Jump in. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom. Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see that? Now be careful. This is a warning. Be careful when you find yourself really getting into the Word of God and letting God's Word richly dwell in us, and we find ourselves being thankful, because you might find yourself start singing. You might find yourself wanting to sing to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You might want to sing in church. You might want to. Scary, isn't it? Well, I don't know. A lot of times we hear today that if we'll do it just a certain way, if we'll do it in a particular style, maybe I will. Well, the thankful person can't hold it back. I know, maybe someone's saying, I don't like that. Well, there it is right there in God's Word. I don't make this stuff up. I just report it, right? And I try to live it. But just want to remind you that this is a church that God speaks to. This is a church that God's speaking to. And so these things that he's talking about are a natural outflow of a Spirit-led church. So, my third question, I told you I'd have three. Here's the third question. How can we tell if we are a Spirit-led church? How can we tell? How can we tell such a thing? Well, I'm going to do something here, and you go, you've already read it. I'm going to read it again. And I want you to listen. Colossians 3, 12 through 16. Listen. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Remember, we're chosen. We're holy and beloved by God Himself, with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But he's talking to a church, and it's possible. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Not only does that mean there's the signs of how we tell whether we're a Spirit-led church, but those are signs that whether or not you're a Spirit-led person. Now, I didn't say, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Because if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Remember, we looked at that one verse where it says we are a temple and the Holy Spirit lives there. But the job of a Christian is to do these things, to follow God's leadership. And as we follow His leadership, these are natural outflows of us following God's leadership. That's what Paul's telling this church. He's encouraging them to let God's Word change you and to be the new person and not the old person. And the only way we become the new person is we change our surroundings. We don't go back to where we came from. We go to where God's taking us. That's what we do. Put in your notes today these words here. He leads. We forgive. Peace rules in our lives. We dwell on His words. And Christ is our life. If I went too fast, it's okay. I'm coming right back to it. The first one. What Paul is telling us is when we're in Christ, when we're that new person, He leads our life. He's the one in charge. He's the one. When Christ, and we're the new person that we're supposed to be, and Christ is in charge of our life, and we're following His leadership, we forgive. We forgive. We look at someone and say, I am sorry that I offended you. When we're that new person in Christ, peace rules in our lives. When we're that new person in Christ, we dwell on His words. We don't just, I'll look at a verse today and then the rest of the week I'm busy. We dwell on it. It is in our minds constantly. And why is that? When we're that new person in Christ, and we're that new person, Christ is our life. That's it. He is our life. He is the very substance of our being. Amen? Look at Colossians 3:17. He kind of sums it up like this. He says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I mean everything. You say, everything? Well, what is it? What about some of the bad stuff? That's the old man. You're the new man. And if you're the new man, you do everything that you do that will please Him. You say, well, I got to go to work. That you should go to work to please Him. It is an offering. The way that we work, the efforts that we put out, the way that we play sports or whatever, the new man says, this has got to be something that I can offer to God. Amen? Whatever you do in word or deed, not just your words, but your actions. Do everything in the name of the Lord. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. And I got to tell you, we should be thankful for everything that we get to do. Why? Because if God says we don't get to do it anymore, we don't get to do it anymore. That's a fact. We want to dwell or be at home constantly with Christ. Isn't it a good feeling when you go somewhere and you've been gone a while and you travel and then as you pull in your driveway, you go, oh, we're finally home. We're finally home. It's a refuge, isn't it? It feels good to be home, doesn't it? And I just want to tell you that Christ is our home. And that's where we need to dwell. Some of us, some Christians find it hard to be at church. They just find it hard. It's really hard. Even though it should be kind of home, spiritually speaking, right? Some people find it hard to be in God's Word, even though that's home. That's home. That's who we are. That's where we figure out who we are, is in His Word. We need to go home. And some people find it hard to walk in fellowship with other Christians. But that's home. That's our refuge. And that's what Paul is telling this church here. We're filled with His Spirit, and we're filled with His Word. Final verse, and we're done. Put in your notes John chapter 15, verses 3 through 8. John 15, 3 through 8. This is what I want to finish with. I actually, as I was preparing, I was like, okay, if I look at my watch and it's really late, I'm not going to do this verse. I'll let the rest of it speak for itself. But God wanted me to go ahead and put this one in here today, it seems, because I looked at my watch and I see I got time for it if I'll stop talking about it and read it. John chapter 15, verse 3 says this, already you are clean, because of the word that I have spoken to you. Jesus Christ, because we've been born again, has made us clean. We've been born again. We have been cleansed of our sins. You say, well, I don't know. I'm still a pretty wretched creature. In your soul, in your spirit, you've been made alive. You've been cleaned. You're righteous inside. And therefore, in verse 4, abide in me, and I in you. Abide means hang out with. Don't leave. Hang out with Jesus Christ. Abide in me, he says, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. He's saying, as a Christian, if we're going to live this Christian life, you've got to be at home with Jesus. You've got to be at home with him. You're a new person, and this is where you belong, he says, if you're his. He goes on in verse 5 and says, I am the vine, and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We like to think that, man, I'm doing this for Jesus, I'm doing this for Jesus. You're not doing anything unless he makes it possible. And hanging out with him and obeying his leadership makes it possible. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers, and the branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. I just want to tell you, Jesus doesn't need Alamo Heights Baptist Church. I kind of cringe when I say that. But that's a fact. Alamo Heights Baptist Church needs Jesus. And that's what he's saying. He's saying, if you don't want to hang out with Jesus, and you're this new person, and you don't want to hang out, you don't have to. But you'll find that you don't have any peace. It'll be something cast away. We've got to value our relationship with Jesus, don't we? Then, verse 7, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. We will get what we need when we're hanging out with Jesus. We will not find ourselves in want. That's peace. That's peace. And that's what Paul is talking about. And then verse 8, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Hey, being a Christian, and what it means to be a Christian is not just, hey, I get to go to heaven. It means that we're his disciples and we're to bear fruit. We're to hang out with him. That's what it means. And that's what Paul is saying to the church at Colossae here. Let's stand. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. And Lord, I pray that we will be the Spirit-filled people that you've made us to be. This is who we are now. This is the new person that we are to constantly be growing towards. And Father, I pray that we can take these words from your word today and put them in our hearts and find the truth in it and obey it and have it change our lives and have it formulate how we go about everything. Have it be the way that we are as a church. And Father, I pray that if there's anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, they've never been born again, Lord, I pray that you will show them today that they can become this new person that actually has this thing that you call peace that's so ununderstandable to the person outside of your will. And so, Lord, I pray that we would, as Christians, really manifest that peace so the lost world can see the difference in our lives and in our church and everything that we do. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit will convict hearts today, convict the lost person to hear your call, and then may they answer your call and show them that you want to choose them, that you want them to be a part of this. And Lord, I pray that for the Christian today that maybe hasn't been walking in your will, that you will speak to them today and show them that there's a better way, there's a way of peace. And it's right here in your word. And it's by being the new person that you've made us to be. Father, we love you, and we thank you so much for your Son, Jesus, who paid the price for our sins that we can be born again. And we thank you for your Spirit that works so mightily in our lives each and every day. We ask these things in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to see everyone that's here. My sermon this morning is Living the Christian Life, and I will be preaching from Colossians chapter 3 and starting in verse 9, if you want to go ahead and get ready as far as that's concerned. And while you're turning to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 9, while you're looking at that, I want to start off with a question. How many of you guys have moved in your life from one place to another a lot? Anybody? Okay, maybe that's a middling characteristic. I don't know. because that's pretty substantial as far as all the people that are in here today, that's for sure. When I first moved here, this was the first actual move away from my home that I'd ever made. I had always been in Northwest Arkansas in that one place. And so it was quite a change. It was quite a change when I came out here. I've got to be really honest with you. There was a lot of adjustments and that sort of thing. I still don't know how to get around Midland. I still don't know how to get around Midland. I still get lost. As a matter of fact, what I will say is, if you want me to know some place to meet you, the only way I'm going to be able to do that is tell me a restaurant or something like that, and it's by a particular restaurant. Then I'll be able to find where you are. But you know, there's a lot of things that happen whenever we make an adjustment, like moving to a different place. Like, for example, some of the things that we see is, one thing for sure is my wife and I both enjoy hotter salsa than we enjoyed before we got to West Texas. We definitely like hotter salsa, right? Yeah, and Brother Russell, I've got a love for a T.O. Bob over at Carambas. I do. It's still one of my favorites. And speaking of that, there's a lot of new restaurants. When we moved out here, we found a lot of those new restaurants. There's been a lot of new activities that we've had to do. Obviously, new friends, right? When we move and move to another place, you make a whole new set of friends, that's for sure. And definitely for me, different landscapes. As a matter of fact, I was looking at a post from my sister the other day, and I guess she was driving through Kansas. Her and her husband were driving through Kansas. And she goes, "There is nothing out here. It's so flat." And she took a picture of it, and I was like, that could be some of the places around here. And when I first moved here, that struck me as just, it was just really hard to get used to. Really, it was really very hard to get used to. And now I love it. Like, for example, when we come back from Lubbock, and I've said this before, but when we come back from Lubbock and the sun is going down, and you know, from La Mesa through there, and you watch the sunset there, it's really quite incredible out here, and I've really gotten an appreciation for that. And I certainly have an appreciation for the temperatures. I certainly have an appreciation for that. The temperatures here are much better than, especially in the wintertime.
Thanks for joining us for a morning service. If you live in Midland or the surrounding area, we hope to see you in person. We are located at 1305 North Midland Drive, south of the Andrews Highway, and north of Cuthbert Street. We are also distributing copies of the Lives of Jesus DVD. If you'd like a copy, our email address is ahbcmidland@gmail.com. Have a great week, and may God bless.
What I will say is, like, when I go back to Arkansas, it doesn't feel the same. It doesn't feel the same, and it isn't the same, and it really will never be the same, to be honest with you. It never will be the same. And so when we go back there, it's really changed as far as that's concerned. And you know what? Another thing is this is where I belong. This is where I belong. This is where God's put me. And I'm not just saying that to where everybody's like going, oh, I wonder if which place he likes to live better or something like that. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is I'm where God wants me to be. And that's an important thing for each and every one of us, to a place for us to be as, to be where God wants us to be and where we belong. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 9. Colossians chapter 3, verse 9 says this: "Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self." And listen to this part here: "which is being renewed in knowledge." So Paul's saying that this new self, instead of the old self, and the new self being the person that we become when we become a Christian, the old self is the person that we were before we were Christian. And Paul is saying here that now that we are the new self, we're being renewed in knowledge. The thing that's changing us, the thing that's changing our surroundings, the thing that's giving us a different viewpoint altogether is our renewal of knowledge, and our knowledge in what? After the image of its creator. We're starting to think as new Christians, we're to have the mindset that we're to be thinking the way that God wants us to think, not the way that we used to think, not looking at things the way that we used to look at it, not be in the surroundings where we used to be. Here where this new place is for the new person, there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. And so when we look at this, I want to just talk about a few of these things here in setting this sermon up today. I want us to look at a few of these things that Paul's talking about here. The first thing that I want you to see is Paul says that we have to put off the old self. We have to put off the old self. The old self actually tells us that we are not who we used to be. When we become a Christian, things change. Can I get an amen on that? That's for certain on that. And put on the new self. We have to get oriented to new surroundings. Just like whenever I moved here and I had to get used to new surroundings, we have to get used to new surroundings as a Christian. There's a whole new, we live in a whole new kingdom as far as our mentality is concerned. And we actually learn how to do this. We learn our new surroundings by actually putting on the new self and actually renewing the way that God wants us to renew. And here's another thing. Where we used to be, where we used to live as a Christian, in a spiritual sense, where we used to be before we are Christian, that's in the rearview mirror. That's what Paul's saying. It's in the rearview mirror. And so when he's saying here, the old needs to fade away. Just like whenever I go back and visit Arkansas to see my mom and some of those things, it's not the same. It's never going to be the same. It's changed. It's a place that I go and visit sometimes, and that's the way that we are as Christians also. So many times we'll go back and we'll visit who we were before we were a Christian. And Paul's saying, as far as our spiritual life is concerned, that we're to just keep moving forward, keep moving ahead, not going back. And so that's the first thing that you notice there. And here's the thing that we need to gather. We actually have the Spirit of God living in us. We have the Spirit of God living in us. And because we have the Spirit of God living in us, the Spirit of God actually tells us some of those old things that we were taken away from, reminds us that's who we used to be. You don't need to go back there, right? We have the Spirit of God to guide us towards this continual drive to our new surroundings. And I say the new surroundings because of the fact that when you look at these verses here, you see in verse 11, you see that Paul is saying that you're a different person. You're a spiritual race now where you weren't before. And we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But here's another thing. The Holy Spirit leads us. The Holy Spirit leads us to represent Christ. So with the change, the new creature, the new person that we are, we have the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit puts a drive in us to represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. What we're going to see today is this new person that we are when we talk about living the Christian life, when we talk about living that life, we're to be representing Jesus Christ to a lost world. That's who we are now. That's who the new person is. And so it's important for us to take a look at that. Now, let's go back and look again at verse 11. And what I want you to notice there is whenever he says that here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all in all. When we go back and look at that, that's telling us a really important thing. There's no longer any fleshly divisions. There's no longer any fleshly divisions. One of the things that human beings do is develop a prejudice. You're not from here. You're not from there. Those kind of things. What Paul is telling us is we become one spiritual family in Jesus Christ. One spiritual race. All of those divisions are gone away. And what I want to remind everybody about today is this, is here we are, we're a church, we're a local church, and Paul is talking to a local church there. So the way that we can take this, all of us that are here today, is we can take it like we are all one race. We all belong to each other, and we belong to Christ. That's how it works. There are no divisions as far as that's concerned. That's what he's saying. He's saying the most important thing is we've been born again, that we've been made alive. And that's how we interact with each other, and that's how we interact with the rest of the world. We represent Christ in that way. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. And if you don't believe me, after we take our last breath here, we go right on into to being with Jesus, and we live with Him forever. And that's the plan. So that leads me to my main point that I'm going to be driving at today. I'm basically going to have one point, and we're going to talk about this one point, and break it down. And it's in the form of a question. What has changed? What has changed when we became a Christian? What changes when we become a Christian? And let's talk about this in line with all of that Paul is saying here. The first thing that I want you to see here is, well, let's just look at verse 12. Look at verse 12. In verse 12, Paul says, "Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience." And so the first thing that we see here, the first thing that we see is what has changed is we become a chosen person by God. God chooses us. And let's talk about this. When we surrender to the call of Christ, He chooses us. Did everybody hear that? He chooses us. That's who the chosen are. When we talk about who are these chosen people that Paul is talking about, that the Word of God is telling about, it's the people that answer the call of Jesus when Jesus is His Spirit, when God's Spirit speaks to people. Some people we know that, like during an altar call or if we're like witnessing to someone or something like that, we know that some people will hear it and they'll be like, I'm not going there. I'm not going there. They feel the tugging of the Holy Spirit in their heart, but they fight it. But then there's some people that hear the call of God, knowing that Jesus Christ died on the cross to pay for their sins, and they know that they are a sinner, and they repent of their sins and ask Jesus to be their Savior. Those are the people that are chosen by God because they answer the call. So that's the first thing that I want you to see. Now, I'll just say this. Jesus Christ died for each and every person. He died for each and every person out there. And so the person that answers that call, that's the one that He chooses as far as that's concerned. And what does He choose us for? He chooses us to carry out His great commission, you know, to make disciples, to go out into the world and make disciples. And that's what Jesus has chosen us to do. Here's a verse that I want you to put in your notes today. Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 4 and 5. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. Listen to this. And this is God speaking to us through the inspiration, speaking to Paul also. It says in verse 4, "Even as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world." From before the foundation of the world, it was God's plan for mankind to actually be serving Him. That was always in His mind. That's why He created everything. That's why He created us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. You know, whenever the Garden of Eden happened, it wasn't like, "Oh my goodness, what happened? I'm so surprised." It was God's plan all along to actually bring things about from the foundation of the world, that we should be holy. It's always been God's plan for us to be holy and blameless before Him in love. It's always been His plan. That's what Paul is saying here. And then he goes on in verse 5 and he says, "He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ according to the purpose of His will." It was God's plan all along to make us His children, to have a relationship with Him. I know there's a lot of people that interpret that in a lot of ways, but I want you to see right here what He's basically saying. It was His plan for us to be His children. Some people don't answer the call. Some people reject it. And when they reject it, those are the people that they hear, "Whosoever will," and they're like, "But not me." But the plan for God was whosoever will. That means everybody has an opportunity to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's been His plan from the beginning. And so we see this here. And I just want to say this. There's some people that they will not answer this call. And the thing that they will hear, the call that they will hear from God is the one where Jesus says, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, for I never knew you." That's one of the saddest things there is. And so that's why we represent Jesus, is because we share Jesus with this world to where there'll be less and less and less people that actually hear that whenever they stand before Jesus someday. So, we surrendered and Jesus is our Lord. And that's what Paul is saying. That's what Paul is telling us, that we surrendered and He's our Lord. We are chosen by Him. You know, one of the things that I remember about being a kid on the playground is you never wanted to be that kid that was like the last one picked. Like you'd be like, you don't want me on your team, huh? Or something like that. You always wanted to be like the first ones. Actually, you wanted to be the one that was picking, to be really honest with you. But I kind of like to win, but that's me. But what I am saying is it's an honor that God chooses us. And He chooses us by the manifestation of His Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, And he's saying, whosoever will may come. And that's what he's saying to all of us. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 19, the Word of God says, but God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal, the Lord knows who are His. And let everyone who names the name of the Lord, let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. That is such an important thing there. It goes in line with everything else that we're saying. Do you see it there? Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. In other words, they get to leave iniquity in the dust. The new man, the new person that we're to become departs from iniquity and arrives in God's glory. Amen? So the first thing that we see here, that we see in Colossians chapter 3, what's changed since we became a Christian, is we're chosen by God. We are chosen by Him. We are His children. The second thing that He's going to show us is we're to be set apart. So we're chosen. The second thing that we see is we're to be set apart. I know this is such an easy illustration, but I got to use it because it is easy. And I think a lot of times the Word of God uses it to kind of convey something to us. But in a marriage is supposed to last, right? Now, I know we live in a time where a lot of people maybe have gotten remarried, that kind of thing. That's got nothing to do with it. What I am trying to say is that the Word of God tells us that God makes a man and a woman for each other, right? It brings us together. And it's supposed to last a lifetime. That's the idea. Can I get an amen on that one anyway? I mean, that's the idea. Man, I can't even believe I have to even kind of go there on that one. I should just be able to say it without feeling like I should apologize or anything like that. But you know, that's the thing. When we look at a marriage, we see that's how it's supposed to work. We're not supposed to run off to another. We're not supposed to run off to another. In our relationship with God, we belong to Him. And we're not supposed to run off to another. And so one of the things that I read here, and I had to include this quote, and I don't know who made this quote, but this was actually in something that I saw and something I read, and there was nobody attributed this quote, so I'm just going to use it, and if there was somebody that said it, I don't know who it was, so I'll say it, and you can say, I said it. How about that? But they said, the new self no longer breaks God's law. They just break God's heart. And just think about that for a moment. We're not worried anymore, and this is what Paul is saying, we're not worried anymore about, are we keeping the law? And that's what he's telling the people at Colossians. It's not us breaking the law, it's us being in a relationship with God, right? We're in a relationship with God, and so now we don't want to break God's heart. We want to stay true to Him. That's what's going on inside the heart of a Christian. We're to be set apart. In 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, the Word of God says this, or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own. We know that our body now, once we became that new person, our body is the temple for the Holy Spirit, the Word of God tells us, right? So the Holy Spirit lives there. It's a temple for them. And so this is what the Word of God tells us. The Holy Spirit lives in us. We are not our own. God has chosen us, and we're to be set apart as a result. Why? Verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our job as a Christian is to be set apart and to bring glory to God. So we see that what does it mean to be a Christian? Well, one thing it means is that God chooses us. Another thing that it means is that we're to be set apart. The third thing that we are to be, that Paul shows us, is we are to forgive trespasses, just the way that God forgives our trespasses. Let's talk about this one. Because last week we looked at, Paul talked about as we were leading up to this week, we were talking about that fleshly list, that list of things that show what a sinner is. This week he shows what the new person is. The new person is, and we're going to be taking a look at that. Look at verses 12 through 14. In verses 12 through 14 in Colossians chapter 3, he says, then put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you. So also you must forgive. And above all these things, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. So this is what Paul is saying the new person puts on. We talked about those things that we had put off last week. This week we talk about those things that we put on. And it's not just something that we can manufacture. What I want to tell you are these things here are things that are manifested by living in God's Spirit, walking in God's Spirit. But like I said, we have God's Spirit living in us, so we can actually do these things. So, with that being said, looking at some of the points here in these verses that we just read, if we're offended by another in church, what are we supposed to do? Get mad, right? No, we're not supposed to get mad. And I know, the flesh wants to get mad. It's a natural inclination of the flesh to get mad or just to get offended, maybe just to go away. But what we see here in this list here, part of us walking in God's Spirit, and I got to remind everybody, this is talking to a church just like ours. I don't know how many people they had at their church. I have no idea. But I do know that he basically was talking about something where we're kind to each other and we're humble with each other and we're meek and patient and we forgive. We forgive. You know what? What the Word of God is telling us here is we're to forgive the way that our Savior forgave us. Now think about that one for a moment, because that's a big deal. Forgiveness is in our DNA spiritually. Forgiveness is in our DNA spiritually. Why do I say such a thing? We've been changed. We've become a new person because of Jesus Christ. We've been made alive in Jesus Christ. We've been made a spiritual race. It's in our new person's DNA to forgive. Why do I say that? I say that because Jesus Christ forgave us of our sins. And so we're to be forgiving people also. And where it didn't used to be natural to forgive, it should become more and more natural the more that we exercise it. Listen, I'm going to tell you, we're going to get offended. Some people are going to make us mad. And I just got to say, the Christian response is not for us just to get mad and just say, well, I'm not ever talking to that person again, or I'm not going to be a part of that church anymore because somebody upset me. I know that happens. I know it does. But I just want to tell you, church, that that's not the way that it's supposed to be. And what I want to say is there's nothing wrong with you going, hey, I offended you and I'm terribly sorry, and offer forgiveness. And then our response, and I don't say that we're supposed to be a doormat and say, I can offend you and walk on you and trample you, and then go, I'm sorry, okay, and then they do it again and again and again. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is we need to have a heart of forgiveness to each other. Because why? Because nobody in this room and nobody in this world and nobody that's ever lived or is going to live is perfect. That's for sure. And so Paul says that if we're offended by another, we need to forgive, it, like we've been forgiven. And so we are filled with God's Spirit. We can do this now. I almost feel like a coach right now, like coming out, and I wish Arkansas's coach would be a little bit more inspiring, actually. But anyway, that's another story. But I feel like saying, we can do this. We can do this. We can live this way. And we can live this way because God made it possible for us to live this way. Whereas the old person could not do it. The old person says, forget it. Done with you. Whatever. And that's no way for a church to be. One of the things that shows that we're really God's people and we're new persons is that we're willing to forgive each other of offenses. Not really fun to think about, is it? Because isn't it fun to, in our flesh, to go, I'm sorry, I'm not forgiving you. I'm sorry, I'm just going to move on away from you. And I'll talk more about that in just a minute. But listen, what I want to say is we can really put on these qualities. We really can. This is not just me going, come on, everybody, we can do it, I promise. That's not just it. What I'm telling you is we are a new person that can do this because of God's power. The question is, will we walk in God's power? That's the question, isn't it? So, we've been chosen, and then we've been set apart, and then we forgive trespasses like we've been forgiven our own. And then the fourth thing that I want you to see here is that we can truly put on love. We can truly put on love. One of the manifestations of a mature Christian, and I've said this before and I'll keep saying this, is not how much Word of God you know. Now that's it's really important to know the Word of God. It really is. So please don't get me wrong. But the true manifestation of a mature Christian is love. You notice in those steps of growth that we see that Peter shares with us, it starts off with add to virtue, knowledge, temperance, self-control, all of those things. And then as you add to, the last thing on that list, and it's not an accident, is love. Because when we look at love here and stuff, and this is not me just talking about, oh, some kind of warm, lovey-dovey feeling. It's talking about a love that serves. A love that serves. If I say that I love Jesus, I serve Jesus. If I say I love this church, I serve this church. And I do love this church. And I do love my church family here. And I want to serve you. I do. And that's one of the qualities that we have as far as growing in Christ. And the ultimate manifestation of a mature Christian is that they are willing to serve each other. I just want to tell you, if we're serving instead of worrying about being served, you'll find yourself a lot more at peace at the way that things are going all around you. That's for sure. Love in the sense of service, listen to this, brings forth, Paul says, peace. Wouldn't a little bit more peace in your life be nice? I mean, come on, honestly, what do you think? Yeah, it would. A little bit more peace would be great. And what I want to say is, when we love, when we serve, and that's what we do, that brings forth, Paul says, peace in a church. Man, I just want to tell you that one of the finest things that I think has happened in this church is there is some peace in here. There is. Because there is a love for each other and a willingness to serve each other. And there's less and less of, I need to be served, but more of, I want to serve you. I'm not going to think about myself. And those kind of things. And so when we're outside of God's peace, when we're outside of serving God, when we're outside of love, that's when we go astray. When does a Christian go astray? When does a Christian go astray? When they aren't willing to love and therefore they lose their peace. They lose their peace. Now, I've got to say this, and I'm going to pick on some of the modern terminologies and stuff that we hear these days, but I'm not talking about a peace through ignoring. And what I mean by that is this. Here I go. Tell me you haven't heard this a lot lately, more probably now than you ever have heard like in your earlier life. I'm sorry, but you're too toxic for me, and so I'm going to get you out of my life. Just take those toxic people and just put them out of your life, and then you'll have peace. Is that what the Word of God is saying? That's not what it's saying. And yet we're... And that's one of those things, that's one of those New Age doctrines that we're putting into our vernacular and putting into our way of thinking, and it's got nothing to do with serving God whatsoever. Here's what I mean by that and what I want to show you here. And I understand, don't get me wrong, there are some situations where people are put in danger, and that's very toxic if that's what you want to call it. And you should stay away from danger, you should get away from danger. Those kind of things. That's not what I'm talking about. That's not what I'm talking about at all. I'm just talking about somebody like, so-and-so is, they offend me all the time. They're toxic. How about this? How about that I am serving them and we're serving God together and we have God's Spirit and one of the challenges that we have is not to run away from each other, but learn how to love each other. I understand the bad things. I do. Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I think everybody gets it, right? But today, it's just like, I'm sorry, you looked at me wrong. You're toxic, and you're gone. Right? And that's not biblical. What Paul is telling this church here is, you're going to get offended. And so you need to forgive. And you can forgive. And so can they. If we are a Spirit-filled church, we all have that responsibility, right? And so we see here that we can actually avoid these kind of situations just by following God's leadership. Just by following God's leadership. I found myself in a situation lately where I was around a lot of people that I could have said, I'm sorry, but I'm around a lot of people right now that are totally toxic to my well-being. So I'm not going to walk in this room. But instead, my mindset was, God, I belong to you. Your spirit lives in me. I'm a spirit-filled man. Please empower me. And be able to look at this situation and look at it with forgiveness. And if I have offended, let me operate in terms of being the person that's forgiving and allowing forgiveness both, right? And I've been in that situation. And I'm telling you, and what Paul is telling us as a church, that's the only way for us to survive. And so we see these things. We see that we're chosen, that we're set apart, and then we see that we're to forgive trespasses, and we can truly put on love. So, at this point in this sermon today, I'm going to hit you with three questions. I'm going to give you three questions, and we'll talk about the answer on these three questions. And then we'll close it down. The first one is, how can we know God's peace? How can we know God's peace then? How can we know His peace? Well, when we obey His will and follow His leadership. When we obey God's will, when we see what God tells us, and that's the way that we live. We follow God's leadership. We look at the children of Israel and that pillar of fire and cloud. It would be sitting there, and when it was sitting there, they weren't supposed to go anywhere. And then when it moved, they were supposed to move with it. In other words, God was leading them everywhere they were supposed to be going. They were supposed to be doing what God told them to do and follow His leadership. And nothing has changed with us today. Not one thing. We're to follow His leadership. When we stray outside of God's leadership, that's when we will lose our peace. And so what that means is, yeah, it is beneficial for us to study the Word of God. It is beneficial. It is beneficial to hear sermons like this. It is beneficial to come to church. It is beneficial to be a part of a local New Testament church. It is beneficial. It's good for us. And so, how can we know God's peace? We've got to set ourselves in situations where we learn what God's will is. At home, at church, in Sunday school, wherever. And then the second question that I have is, how do I know that I'm outside of God's will? That's an easy one. You want to know if you're outside of God's will or not? If there's no peace in your life right now, you are not in God's will. But if there is a peace, and I mean a spiritual peace, then you will find yourself in God's will. And I know some people that, frankly, like my Aunt Nancy, who recently passed away, I was talking to her on the phone, and I was feeling sad and everything because I was going to be missing her, and she was speaking to me with positivity, like, hey, I'm getting ready to be with Jesus. That's what's getting ready to be happening here, Robert. That's what's getting ready to be happening. And she had total peace in a time where most people go, why is God letting this happen to me? Well, it happens to all of us. We get old and we die. Ooh, that was positive, wasn't it? Actually, it is. When we look at the things through the eyes of faith the way that my Aunt Nancy did, right? And so how do I know if I'm outside of God's will? There's no peace. Look at Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Look at verse 15. And let the peace of Christ rule. Rule. That means it's on the throne. Peace is on the throne. And that's Jesus Christ's leadership. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. We were called to be in this peace. We were called to actually serve together in a church together in peace and actually walking in God's Spirit. And so you were called in one body. And it says, and be thankful. There's something that maybe we don't do enough of. A lot of times we go through life and go, how's it going today? Well, this is bad. And maybe that's just me because I'm not the most positive person on the face of the earth all of the time. But when we're walking in God's peace, then something happens and it's called thankfulness. As I was thinking about things this morning, as I was getting ready to preach this sermon this morning, I caught myself thinking, I am so thankful for our Sunday school teachers, who all of them I know prepared all week long for what was happening in your classroom this morning. And I was so thankful for each and every one of them. And I'm actually, as church happened today, I found myself thankful that they went ahead and they persevered, even though I think right now it looks like a lot of people are missing. And I got to tell you, that's hard. That's hard. How do I know that's hard? It's hard to preach when everybody's missing. But I found myself thankful that they pushed on anyway. And I found myself thankful that I get to preach God's Word today. And I found that I'm thankful for my wife and my family and my home and the opportunity to serve Jesus. And those are the things that when we're walking in God's peace, we find ourselves doing, and that's being thankful. And then he goes on in verse 16 and says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Not dabble around and stick your toes in the water with the word of God. Dwell in the word of God richly. All in, jump in. Teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Do you see that? Now be careful. This is a warning. Be careful when you find yourself really getting into the Word of God and letting God's Word richly dwell in us, and we find ourselves being thankful, because you might find yourself start singing. You might find yourself wanting to sing to psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You might want to sing in church. You might want to. Scary, isn't it? Well, I don't know. A lot of times we hear today that if we'll do it just a certain way, if we'll do it in a particular style, maybe I will. Well, the thankful person can't hold it back. I know, maybe someone's saying, I don't like that. Well, there it is right there in God's Word. I don't make this stuff up. I just report it, right? And I try to live it. But just want to remind you that this is a church that God speaks to. This is a church that God's speaking to. And so these things that he's talking about are a natural outflow of a Spirit-led church. So, my third question, I told you I'd have three. Here's the third question. How can we tell if we are a Spirit-led church? How can we tell? How can we tell such a thing? Well, I'm going to do something here, and you go, you've already read it. I'm going to read it again. And I want you to listen. Colossians 3, 12 through 16. Listen. Put on, then, as God's chosen ones. Remember, we're chosen. We're holy and beloved by God Himself, with compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another. And if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you must also forgive. And above all, these put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Sounds too good to be true, doesn't it? But he's talking to a church, and it's possible. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. That kind of sums it up, doesn't it? Not only does that mean there's the signs of how we tell whether we're a Spirit-led church, but those are signs that whether or not you're a Spirit-led person. Now, I didn't say, do you have the Spirit of God in you? Because if you've been born again, you have the Spirit of God in you. Remember, we looked at that one verse where it says we are a temple and the Holy Spirit lives there. But the job of a Christian is to do these things, to follow God's leadership. And as we follow His leadership, these are natural outflows of us following God's leadership. That's what Paul's telling this church. He's encouraging them to let God's Word change you and to be the new person and not the old person. And the only way we become the new person is we change our surroundings. We don't go back to where we came from. We go to where God's taking us. That's what we do. Put in your notes today these words here. He leads. We forgive. Peace rules in our lives. We dwell on His words. And Christ is our life. If I went too fast, it's okay. I'm coming right back to it. The first one, what Paul is telling us is when we're in Christ, when we're that new person, He leads our life. He's the one in charge. He's the one. When Christ, and we're the new person, that we're supposed to be and Christ is in charge of our life and we're following his leadership, we forgive. We forgive. We look at someone and say, I am sorry that I offended you. When we're that new person in Christ, peace rules in our lives. When we're that new person in Christ, we dwell on his words. We don't just, I'll look at a verse today and...